Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here as we are warming up outside. Things are starting to get a little nicer temperature-wise, and I've been seeing some pictures on the Michigan Charter Board Captains Association's Facebook page of a little bit of steelhead action going on. I'm excited about that, and usually about this time of year when we have the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids, you can watch the ladies and gentlemen fishing the Grand River just down from the 6th Street Dam in Grand Rapids and maybe hooking on to some Michigan chrome. But the event is, as we speak, as we are talking right now, depending on where you're listening or when you're listening, going on at DeVos Place in Grand Rapids, right downtown. Beautiful facility. It's the Ultimate Sports Show. My good friend Bill Parker, editor of Michigan Outdoor News, knows a little bit about that, although he's been covering the Detroit end of things mainly. We're going to get him to talk a little bit about what's going on in Grand Rapids. Bill, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Duran. How are you today?
I'm doing well, but you know, not as well as everybody enjoying the show right now.
I know, exactly. That's one of my favorite shows. It is my favorite show of the year. It's the biggest show we go to here at Outdoor News. And you mentioned about watching the steelhead fishermen. Our booth is right at the back end of the foyer when you first come in to DeVos Place, and the windows overlook the river, so we get a really good view all day long of those guys out there catching fish and having a good time, especially when the weather warms up like it has been here a little bit. It kind of makes you chomp at the bit a little bit and want to get outside and join them some.
Absolutely. You know, we've been working with you, Bill, since probably the beginning of the show 15 years ago. You are still a good old-fashioned newspaper, one that has not been diminished in size because of lack of interest, which is wonderful. And you've been at this for a little while now.
Yeah, this is our 22nd year, actually. We started in January of 2000. So we've been going full tilt for over 20 years. And for people that are unfamiliar with Outdoor News, what makes us a little bit different than the other publications is that we really dive into the news end of hunting and fishing, and we try to keep people updated on regulation changes and considerations and stuff from the Natural Resources Commission and the state legislature, so that if there are proposed changes coming up, we try to get that word out to our readers in advance, so if they want to chime in, call up one of their commissioners or call up one of their representatives and let them know, you know, what their thoughts and feelings are on the proposed changes, they have an opportunity to do that. We try to get it out before the changes take place, just so that people can be informed and know what's coming up and make those comments if they want to.
Yeah, it's definitely, honestly, Bill, it's been our favorite publication for here, because it does get in depth like that, and you know, and I bring this up because, you know, a lot of times you'll see your guys working the booth here looking for subscriptions. This is something that's important to us, is that you actually know a little bit about what's going on before you get there. You know, you can pick up yourself a sample copy, and then you know, maybe get the subscription, because subscriptions, to me, I'm a paper in hand kind of guy, and that is the way for me to go, because I always want to go back and reference it, and I'll always know where it's at.
Yes, absolutely, and that's kind of our strong suit. We come out every other week, 26 times a year, and that allows us to, you know, stay on top of the issues and keep people informed. And then, you know, we also have the regular features, you know, like all the other publications do, on catching different fish or different hunting techniques and tactics and things like that. We've got columnists that chime in with their opinions each week. We've even got a word puzzle. Crossword puzzle. Sorry about that. But yeah, so we, you know, it's a newspaper format, and we offer a little bit of everything. We have a lake profile on the back of each edition. We feature a different lake from across the state in each edition. And then one of our best read pages is our cuffs and collar pages, which is a recap of the conservation officer reports from the past week or past weeks or months, and everybody says when they get the paper, that's one of the first pages they read, because some of the little blurbs that they put in there are just unbelievable. You wonder how some of these people get through a day in life, because they make some really bad moves sometimes.
Oh, one recently was that guy that took 9 trophy, and I'm not talking just deer. I'm talking trophy bucks, already a felon in possession of a firearm, and he's got big fines, jail times, and revocation of his hunting privileges for life. Will it stop him? I doubt it. But
I know he was a felon in possession. He obtained illegal licenses. He did, you know, just about everything wrong. He was shooting them at night, driving through cornfields and egg fields and shooting them at night. But fortunately, he got caught. And he was fined $25,000, I believe, in reimbursements. He forfeited, of course, all the racks and all the meat, the gun that he used in these in this crime. And he is sentenced to 18 months to 5 years in prison. So they really came down hard on him and hammered him pretty well. And hopefully it'll be a deterrent. But like you said, Duran, you just don't know. People like that are you know, stuck on their ways. And maybe this will be enough to make him change his ways a little bit if he gets to sit in prison and think about it a little bit. Not a lot of people go to prison for shooting too many deer, but they felt that, you know, this crime was bad enough that he got prison time out of it. So good for the prosecutor and good for the judges that sent those crimes down to send a message to people that it's not just a wildlife crime. It's a crime, you know, and you're going to be held accountable for it.
Well, it affects all of us, too, is what really pisses me off. How many guys, gals, had those bucks on camera, worked food plots, put all the time and effort into it to legally go about doing things like this? And you know what? Look, the criminal element in general are not the smartest of people. Okay, and if I'm offending a criminal right now that refuses to learn and to go back and do things, sadly, Bill, I think his time is, you know what? I wonder how big those deer are going to be when I get back, when I get out. That's all I can, you know, imagine this guy thinking.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. All the people that, you know, did things right and maybe even passed on some of these bucks the year before so they could get them, let them allow to grow a little bit more and get a little bit bigger and, you know, did their homework and hung their stands and, you know, went to bed dreaming about having an opportunity at that big 8-point or that big 10-point that they've been seeing. And then you get a joker like this that comes by and you know, a thief in the middle of the night and goes out with a spotlight and a gun and shoots them and you never see him again. So, yeah, glad they caught him and hope they catch all the people that you know, commit those kinds of crimes.
Absolutely. You can always go to the DNR website, too, to report all poaching. Get the number from there. I wish I had it at my fingertips, but... you know.
Yeah, I just happen to have that.
Oh, look at that, Bill. Look how prepared you are.
It's 1-800-292-7800. And we have that at the top of Michigan Outdoor News in each edition, too, because we encourage people to, you know, if you know somebody's committing a crime, let the DNR know so we can stop them and you know, let the legal people that follow the rules be the ones that get out and enjoy the outdoors, not these crooks and lowlifes that think they can do anything they want at any time they want.
Absolutely. 1-800-292-7800 is that number. Again, look on the front page of Michigan Outdoor News. Bi-weekly, as that hits your front porch, your mailbox, whatever it's going to hit. And, of course, you can always go get your subscription at the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids this weekend, as that takes place right there on the banks of the beautiful Grand River in downtown Grand Rapids. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on there, Bill. But
there sure is.
But we've got turkey season coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about that. We'll do that in the next segment. So, Bill, if you don't mind hanging on.
Absolutely.
Bill Parker joining us from Michigan Outdoor News. We are being brought to you by Not Just Guns. Auctions are back. Find them at notjustguns.com or via our website, wildmichiganradio.com, here on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey,
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network, being brought to you in part by Conquest Sense, makers of VS1 and Evercalm. Sense in a stick, great Michigan product. And of course, they feature the ATA-approved sticker as well. Be looking for that when you look for your Deer Scent products. Bill Parker, Michigan Outdoor News, joins us here for this second segment of Bill Time, if you will. Spring turkey dates. Bill, I'm excited. This is my favorite time of year. I have become such a fan of turkey hunting that it kind of eclipses everything else, you know, the deer season, the fishing and everything else, which unfortunately can be over in like 10 seconds too. But if you have to work birds, God, it's so much fun. I absolutely love it.
It really is. It's one of my favorites too of all time. You hit the nail on the head, Duran. And the, you know, one of the cool things about it is that it's early enough in the year that if you get out in April and hunt those birds, the season this year, it starts a little bit later. It's on April 23rd, but there's no bugs. You know, you're out right there ahead of the bugs, and everything's starting to bloom, and all the birds are mating. When the sun starts to come up in the morning and the birds wake up, it's like a chorus out there in the woods. Sometimes if you're in the right spot, you can barely hear yourself think because there's so many birds chirping and squawking. And the best one is when you hear that gobble.
Oh my.
Off in the distance, and he's headed your way.
You know, I remember taking my daughter, Bill. She was probably 8-10 years old, out turkey hunting for the first time. And, you know, we were out there, and I started calling. And the first gobble she ever heard, she turned, her mouth went open, her eyes got huge, and it was, that was it. That was like, this kid just lit up. And you know me, my heart lit up so much looking at her hear this.
Right.
Now, we didn't see anything that day, but, you know, they would get closer, and she'd get more excited, and there's nothing to that, and it doesn't matter how old you are either, because that never goes away.
No, it sure doesn't. It's that anticipation. And like you said, sometimes they come in, sometimes you just hear them gobble and you work them a little bit. But I was sitting here when you were telling that story, Duran, with a huge smile on my face, because I had the same experience with I've got two daughters. And the first time I took them out turkey hunting and the first time they heard one or saw one, it's the excitement is just unparalleled. It's so cool. And, the other aspect of it is that you're talking to that bird.
Right.
You're calling that bird, saying, hey, I'm a hen, I'm over here, come and see me. And he gobbles, and the next time you hear him, he's a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And yeah, it's a magical time to be out there, I tell you. I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's still a month away, and I can't wait for it to get here.
I know. I watched, it's so funny, because I watched the birds. You can see them starting to congregate. They're all in their, you know, the packs of hens, and then of course all the toms are out, and you know, and you're looking, because my in-laws live in Mount Pleasant, and they live in a beautiful place that has so many turkeys, it's not even funny. So I'm looking through, and I'm picking through. I'll never get the one I want, but you know, it's just getting out there and working them. And when that season starts, it's like all bets are off that you're going to get them in as close as you do when you're just outside walking around.
Right. They are very wary. You know, people talk about turkeys being dumb birds, and you know, their brain's pretty small in the big picture, and they're not the brightest birds or animals out there, but they have a very, very keen sense of eyesight and very, very keen hearing. And they'll pick you out from 100 yards away if you move your hand to scratch your ear. Any little movement, they'll see you, or anything that, you know, is a little bit out of the ordinary. If you have a flash of white on your shirt that shows through, or you know, something that's just unusual, they'll pick that out and just go the other way. They won't stop and look, usually. They're not curious birds. Mm-mm. They see something that doesn't fit in with their liking, and they're gone. They turn and walk the other way and head in another direction. So it takes some skill, and it takes some woodsmanship to get them in and to get close to them. But on the other hand, I've seen them do some of the silliest things and think, how can they be so hard to kill? They're not that smart.
Right.
But they're very good at staying alive.
Their hearing, it's so amazing because you can call and they can pinpoint where you are at. They'll stop gobbling, okay? But they will pinpoint where you're at and they will come in. If all things are going your way, they will come in so quietly and be on top of you before you know it. That's one of the things you really have to realize if you've never turkey hunted before. Just because you don't hear them doesn't mean they're not en route to where you are.
Yes, absolutely. And I learned the hard way over several times that before you get up to move, take a really, really, really good look all the way around you, because many times I've had a bird coming and then, like you said, he got quiet and I didn't hear him anymore. And I waited another 15 or 20 minutes and said, well, he's not coming, I'll go move. And I stand up, and the bird's behind me at 40 yards. And I'm just like, oh, man, he was right there. So definitely move slowly, but take a look around before you get up to go, because he might be sneaking in, and you don't know he's there yet.
And Bill, I love talking with you about turkey hunting. I've learned so much from our good friend Al Stewart from the Michigan DNR, now retired, He's just such a wealth of information, I mean, we need not worry about our population just because by the time turkey season starts, all the hens have pretty much been bred. And it's, that important part is already over with. And again, even if your season ends in the first minute or two, you still have all that time to help someone else to call and set up and get somebody new out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I know Al was still is a big proponent of that. Right. Sometimes when everything comes together, your season can end in 10 minutes. They fly down off the roost and come right in and you make a good shot. And it's almost a disappointment because you've been waiting to hunt for so long and it's over already. If that happens, or once that happens, talk to your neighbor, talk to a kid, talk to somebody who's interested in turkey hunting, and take them out and call for them and show them the ways of the woods and the ways of the wild turkey. It's the best, if you ask me, it's the best animal to introduce somebody to hunting, because you can talk a little bit when nothing's happening and you don't have any hot birds coming in. You can talk, you can walk right around, you can move. I like the run and gun approach where, I call and try to find a turkey that answers me, and then I set up right away and try to call them in. And if that one fails, then I move a little further, go down the ridge or down the field or wherever, whatever type of habitat you're hunting, and see if you can get one that's talkative, that's ready to come in and interested. And it's not like, some of the other sports, especially deer hunting, where, boy, you got to sit still and you can't make a peep, and sometimes you sit for hours and nothing happens. Well, if you sit for a half an hour, 40 minutes turkey hunting and nothing happens, you can get up and move and go somewhere else and try to find those birds. So it's really nice to introduce someone who's never hunted or maybe has limited hunting, experience under their belt. Take them out turkey hunting. It's a great, great time, and it's, when they get that hot Tom coming in gobbling his head off right in front of you, they'll never forget it.
Absolutely. Bill Parker, Michigan Outdoor News. Thank you so much, man. And by all means, check out the Michigan DNR's new Turkey Digest, available on their website. We'll put a copy of it up on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast. Check out our sponsors, Conquest Sense and Not Just Guns. Appreciate you joining us here. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Coming up on the 26th of March, man, it's going to be a big time at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. I am talking about the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. Big, banquet fundraiser. That's going to be going on. I cannot wait for that. I'll be the MC for that event, and it's going to be so much fun. Lots of great prizes, lots of great guns to give away, and we want to see you there. This is going to be the biggest one they've ever had, and just a few tickets remain. Okay, BuckFax.com is where you can go to get your tickets for that event. Again, March 26th at Soaring Eagle. Going to join my good friend Mike Natkowski right now. You know, it's great about Nat is because he's got Mike Natkowski or NatOutdoors.com. I was checking out the Facebook. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the Facebook right now where you have some wolves attacking elk. But what I want to talk about first is ice out crappie fishing. We don't give that enough love, Mike. And you know what? That is like the hot time to go out after these big slabs that are still nice and fresh in the cold water. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How have you been?
Doing well, because things are starting to warm up here. We've got daylight savings time this weekend. And I know if it snows again, it's only going to go away faster.
Yeah, that sun's getting a little warmer.
It is. So let's talk about this ice out crappie fishing because, you know, I've had a lot of opportunity to meet guys that are really into crappie fishing, but we've never really talked too much about it here, especially on this really critical time where, you know, I mean, we have a good time with them through the ice, but when the ice is out first, this is a really good time to go at them.
It is because they're concentrated. I mean, what crappies tend to suspend a lot during open water and under the ice. So they can be difficult to find. You know, you got to rely on your electronics and everything. But one thing you can count on is their migration to the shallows as the ice goes off, because they're one of the first fish to spawn in the spring. And they head to the shallows because it's warmer, number one. And number two, that's where all the minnows are going too. So, you know, it's the one time when you can really predict where they're going to be.
Yeah, you know, and that's important too, because warmer weather, I mean, they're great to catch, but there's something about that when that ice is first out that just fishing in general is exciting, but we're still using like ice tactics because it's still so cold.
Yeah, you know, I have friends that fish on the National Ice Fishing Tour, and they always say, you know, bluegills are bug eaters and crappies are minnow eaters. So they use things to imitate minnows. Not that crappies won't eat insects and stuff, but they definitely prefer minnows. So, you know, plastics are the way to go. You can catch them on minnows if you want to do that, but plastics are easier to deal with, keep alive and handle and store and all the above. So, plastics are really, really good for crappies just about year round.
See, and that's an avenue, speaking with Mike Natkowski, an avenue, Mike, that I've never really gone for crappies with. It's always been live bait, but plastic or, you know, or like jigs, but plastics, tell me about plastics, what you're using and how you're using them to keep them that live look.
Well, a lot of these plastics imitate minnows or something similar. Really like custom jigs and spins wedgies. They're just a long, slender plastic. I use those on one of their tungsten jig heads. Another one to, you know, gulp. If you can find them, the one-inch minnows are deadly on crappies. And Northland's Impulse. They have several different, their mini smelt minnow is really good. And the advantage of the Northland Impulse stuff is that it's also scented. So, and like gulp. So, you really don't have to use minnows if you don't want to.
Yeah. I'm looking at the wedgie plastics. I mean, man, I tell you what, that's the first I've seen them or heard of them. Now, I know I've worked with Northland in the past here on the show, and I know how well those impulse things work. Good luck trying to get any kind of idea as to what they impregnate them with. But
yeah.
But they are very lifelike and whippy almost, if that's a word we can use, in the water.
Yep. And, you know, and you can customize them a bit. If the fish are just biting the tail of it, you can just pinch it off a little bit. You know, like for bluegills, they might want a little smaller. So, and they're so easy to, you know, you don't have to worry about keeping bait alive. You can just, and they're fairly cheap. I mean, I'm not sure what a package costs, but it's probably less than $3, and you're going to get a dozen baits. So you get your, you know, you can fish those dozen baits for days and days. You know, you rarely lose them. But, yeah, it's just a whole lot of fun, especially the way you fish them in the spring. You fish them underneath a float, and you'll take your usual classic, say, Carlisle or thrill float, pull the spring off the end of it, and replace that with a piece of surgical tubing. And that way you don't have any wear and tear on your line, mm-hmm. and you can adjust it real easily. And so you fish those jigs about 3 foot below a float, and it's just a lot of fun. Kind of technique orientated, but still pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, I should put you on the Prices Right, because I'm looking at one website for those custom jigs and spins, Wedgie Plastics. They're $279, so you're right, just under $3.
Yeah, that was a guess. So.
A very good one. You know, and I tell you, I've had the opportunity to work with and to watch Wally Marshall, you know, the guy that Mr. Crappie, over the years at the Bassmaster Classics that I've worked. But, man, you know what? You talk to that guy about cold water fishing or ice, and he just looks at you like, you know, you done lost your marbles.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what kind of concentrates these fish, because you know, we're coming off really cold water, and then as it gradually warms up. And the thing about these crappies are going to go shallow because the water in there is going to warm up quicker. And a couple things you need to pay attention to. I don't know if you've ever seen a leaf on the ice, and the sun this time of year gets a little strong. You'll see it melts around that leaf on the ice, or if there's a stick or anything else. And the same thing happens in the back of these bayous and cuts and everything. Is any kind of structure in there, docks or laydowns, you know, is going to absorb more of the heat. So it's going to warm up quicker. And the other thing to make note of is wind direction. This wind, there's going to be a thin layer of warmer water on the surface, and the wind's going to push that into a corner or something of the lake. So you got to pay attention to wind direction, because that's going to funnel that warmer water into certain places.
Mike Natkowski joining us here on Wild Michigan. Nat, GNATOutdoors.com is his website. And of course, we just talked to Bill. We talked to Bill Parker today. And we know you've got that article coming out in Michigan Outdoor News.
Yep. I do a lot of work for them. Bill's a great editor to work with. And, you know, I probably have a story or two in the magazine or the paper every month. So, and it pretty much gives me free rein, so I can talk about whatever I want, or whatever the hottest current topic is.
No, that's fantastic. Mike Natkowski joining us here. I tell you what, Nat, hang on, and we will talk to you more, because I want to find out what else is going on with you outside of the crappie fishing. Of course, here in Michigan, we got turkey season coming up. The leftover licenses will go on sale on Monday, which I believe is the 16th. Don't quote me on that, because I don't have a calendar in front of me, but actually the 14th is what I have that. So those will go on sale, and if you have your application in, those are available online right now on the Michigan DNR website. So come back with more here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Nick Munt with Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. My good friend Nick Munt from Michael Waddell's Bone Collector. And speaking of that, I want to send out some positive vibes and some prayers to our brother T-Bone from Michael Waddell's Bone Collector as well. He recovering from having a portion of his leg removed because of some cancer that was found. So he was able to get out, ring the bell, and he's rehabbing. And that dude God bless him. He's smiling as he does always, and we're very happy to be seeing that. So a quick mend to T-Bone and back on us, back outdoors as fast as he can. I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns for being a part of this show as well. Auctions are back, notjustguns.com. All the details right there or via our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And back with Mike Natkowski, outdoor writer and all-around good guy in the outdoors. Mike, we talked a little bit about crappie fishing for the ice out because I'm seeing the edges start to go away. We're starting to lose ice in some of the smaller bodies of water. And look, I'm just going to say this to say it as I do all the time. If you've got to make a little bridge to get to the ice, you don't need to be on the ice, okay? It's let it go. It's okay. But Nat, what else do you have going on in your world? I mean, because you're a busy dude, always writing or putting something out.
Yeah, well, this is kind of what I call twofer season because there's an opportunity here in February and through the middle of March to get on the bigger rivers and double your pleasure because you can catch steelhead and walleye kind of at the same time before the inland walleye season closes. And you know, if you got a major body of water like the Muskegon or the Grand or the St. Joe, there's a good chance that you can go on there right now and double your pleasure by catching both walleye and steelhead.
You know, I've been seeing some pictures of some steelhead, I mean big steelhead, getting caught on some of these rivers here, thanks to Facebook, you know, and the Michigan Charter Boat Captains Association Facebook page. It's really, you know, and the weather's been decent on the surface as well.
Yep, you know, things have been down as far as steelhead runs in recent years, but last fall was pretty good. And all those fish are in the river now and moving upstream. And then you've got, you know, as this warms up a little bit, we get a little warmer rain, you know, you're going to have more steelhead moving in the river. And there's, you know, there's a glut of walleyes right now because they're going to spawn here during April. So they're headed upstream. And so it's kind of a fun time. I mean, you can go out and run a couple plugs behind the boat and cast off to the side for walleye or possibly get surprised by hooking a steelhead on a bait you might not, you know, think of as a steelhead bait. I know a couple springs ago I was cast into a kind of a dead water pool where I thought walleyes might be sitting and had 4-pound test on with a jig. And when I set the hook, I realized that this might not be a walleye and it was a giant steelhead that toyed with me for a little bit before he took off and broke my line. But it's fun because you really don't know what you might catch.
You know, that's true too, because I mean, look, I've been steelhead fishing and have caught everything just because it's that time of year where they're really starting to get out and move around, fish in general. And I think probably, I had probably a trophy class sucker, at least a master angler sucker that I landed. That was probably the biggest one I'd ever caught in my life. Steelhead fishing.
Yeah. That's another species that, you know, things are going to be picking up. Suckers run just about the same time the steelhead do. So I just did another story for Michigan Outdoor News on sucker fishing. And, you know, there's some diehard people that get out there. You can, you know, set up on a riverbank and build a little fire if you're on you know, the right place and take the kids. And, you know, it can be a fun way, lots of action. And, you know, suckers are pretty good to eat if you smoke them or can them. And so it's an underutilized resource here in Michigan.
You know, it really is, because I think about that all the time. You know, my uncle used to can sucker. They would go spearing or they would go catching sucker, and they would can it. Now, frankly, I've never done it myself. And what's really funny is when you think about the carp that we have in our river, those were brought in by Europeans as a food source. It's technically an invasive species that has been, you know, assimilated to our culture, but yet nobody eats them. But in Europe, they still do.
Yeah, I've heard that. You know, I know people that, you know, have caught them out of like the St. Mary's River where you got extremely clean water, and, you know, they swear by them. You know, they say they're extremely good eating, real flaky white meat. I personally haven't done it, but I don't see why they wouldn't be good eating the right body of water.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's you know, I get what they what their purpose in life is, but again, you know, if the body of water is clean enough, and I want to stick up for the Grand River that goes through Lansing. Everybody thinks that's a very dirty river and everything else. It's not. There's so much loose sediment on the bottom that it gives it that color. But man, some of the fish I've taken out of there, absolutely no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a fabulous smallmouth river, and there's a lot of other rivers like that in Michigan. And, you know, I think in general, Michigan rivers have cleaned up tremendously. I know when I grew up in Saginaw, the river never froze because it was so polluted. They used to joke that if you needed some antifreeze, you could just scoop up some river water and put it in there. But, you know, rivers have cleaned up a lot in recent years and recent decades, and I think we're headed in the right direction with that.
I really do too. And to credit my late friend Joe Schultz, up in St. Louis, Michigan, he was a champion for the Pine River. Of course, they had the Velsicol Superfund, which at one time you literally could light the sediment from the bottom of that river. Now we have the opportunity, because of work by Joe and Murray Borello and a lot of other people, that we can recreate on that body of water now on the Pine River in St. Louis. You can catch fish. You have to release them. You should not eat them. But the resource itself is bouncing back slowly, but getting there.
Yeah, I'm really familiar with the Pine River because I went to Elma College, and this was, of course, upstream of St. Louis, but I've caught a lot of nice brook trout and brown trout in there up towards Vestaburg, up that way. I'm not sure if that's still possible, but I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's just, you know what, it's been an amazing thing since I've started this show 15 years ago when we met Joe and he became mayor. Unfortunately, has since passed, but the Free Fishing Weekend Derby that happens in St. Louis still bears his name. And I tell you what, Nat, if that is a fun event to watch a whole town come out and fish a river that at one time was so polluted that you couldn't even touch it.
Yeah. And there's lots of places like the Rouge River caught on fire one time. So, you know, and that feeds the Detroit River. So, you know, back in the day, I know that there's and these things that polluted them are long lasting. That's the only unfortunate thing. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, lives of hundreds and hundreds of years. So we're never going to be rid of them, but at least we're minimizing their effects.
Absolutely. Now, we can follow you on Facebook. I know natoutdoors.com is your Facebook page, and we can find you in the publications across the area. Where are you now? I forget to ask that, but I know already. But
I live in Muskegon now, which a few years ago I moved out west. Well, it's been quite a few years. I moved out west, I think, in 2008. The housing crisis kind of put an end to the charter business. Mm-hmm. And I moved out west and then came back about 3 years ago. You know, I really feel for these guys because this, you know, these gas prices might put an end to a lot of guys who are in the charter business. I mean, I don't see how they can afford it, and I don't see how customers can afford it,
right.
You know. So it's going to be a trying time for the guys that do that for a living.
Well, with any luck, we'll see something happen with that. You know what I mean? It just, again, that's all we can do is keep our fingers crossed and move on. That's what Americans do. But you know what? Getting out, going down to the river, which so many towns have bodies of water near them or around them in this state, just getting out and wetting a line is pretty cheap and pretty fun to do.
Well, yeah, that's the advantage of living in Michigan. You know, when I lived in Wyoming, you had to drive 2-3 hours to get into any water. But here, you know, there's a pond or lake or a stream or something right in your backyard. So at least we won't have to spend too much money to go fishing.
Absolutely, yeah. License and whatever it is you want to put into it, it's probably as expensive as you want to make it. But Mike Natkowski, man, I appreciate you joining us as always here on the show. And looking forward to pressing the flesh with you one of these days soon.
All right, we'll do that. Let's go catch some crappie.
Oh, my God, you're killing me. Turkey hunting and crappie on today's show. I don't know how much better it could be. So much to do in this state, and, well, we got the time. Thanks to Mike Natkowski. Thanks to Bill Parker. Thanks to everybody else that joined us on the show. And thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason. Auctions are back. Find them and find our friends at Conquest Sense as well, all via our website, plus the podcast, wildmichiganradio.com. I'm Duran Martinez. Thank you.